We don't take it lightly that we have the strength, the physical ability, and the mental ability to be here. We thank you, Father, because so many things we even take for granted. So many things we take for granted. But today, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless the words that come forth. I bind and rebuke any spirit that does not belong to you, Father. It must leave in the name of Jesus and his authority, in Jesus' name. Father, give safe journeys to those that are still traveling here today. Our pastor, as he brings forth the words, those that sing, those that teach our children, whatever is going forth today, may it be to glory and magnify your name. Father, we move ourselves out of the way. Lord, fill these vessels, these temples, Lord, with you, and let your words come forth, your thoughts, your mind, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, in Jesus' precious and holy name. We pray. Amen. Today, I want to talk about, and if I had to give it a title, I would call it Living Sacrifice. Living Sacrifice. Living Sacrifice. And I want to read Romans 12 and 1 and 2, and I want to read it in two different versions. The Message Bible, I think, is pretty entertaining, so I want to start with that first. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, as a sacrifice. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And you know, our Christian life, it is all about changing, isn't it? We've been made new. We've been made whole. We've been made righteous. We have the fruit of the Spirit, but we're every day trying to walk it out according to what God has put in us and what God has planned for us. So let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the New King James Version. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because, you know, only God can do this, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's always a choice. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now keep this in mind. And let's go to 1 Chronicles 21. We're talking today about being a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And when I read the Old Testament, we all know David, you know, the man after God's own heart. But David was not perfection, and neither are we. Neither are we. The heart is so deceitful and wicked. Who could know it but God? So let's read the story of 1 Chronicles 21. And there is one version of this that says, and it might be the Message version. And the first line, it says, now Satan entered the scene and seduced David into taking a census of Israel. That's the Message Bible. I like the way he wrote that because, you know, our enemy is always out to get us. Sometimes he's quiet for a while. He's always lurking around. But in the New King James Version, let's do the King James Version, but it speaks differently. But I love that one so much, so I wanted to read that one too. Hang on here. Yes, sir. 1 Chronicles 21. We're going to read most of the chapter. Verse 1, it says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me the number of them to me that I may know it. It seems like an innocent thing, but it wasn't. It was an offense to God. You know, who is it? If I'm for you, who can be against you, David? You know, why do you need to know the numbers? But, and Joab answered, the Lord may make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servant? So Joab is trying to talk him out of this. Listen to him. He says, why then doeth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? This is Joab, like one of his mighty men. He's like, you know, God's got us. God's for us. It doesn't matter how many goes up against whatever. You know, it's going to be enough. It's going to be enough. But it says, nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000, which was 1,001,000, and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. So he went out and did the job, but he didn't do it completely. He was trying to save his king. Anybody got a friend like that? Try to keep you out of trouble, but you are determined to do it. Oh, help us, Lord. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the impurities of thy servant. He's speaking to God. For I have done very foolishly. Now, I want you to know there's a process for the sacrifice. David is walking and living this living sacrifice. He admits the wrong. A lot of times God will bring things to you through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you're like, I'm just going to stand over here for a moment. Maybe that'll pass. Maybe that's the enemy talking. Am I the only one that does that? Oh, don't look so holy up there. Okay. So I give David props. He screwed up, but he's like, I have sinned. He took the blame. And a lot of us, when we get caught on something, the first thing we want to do is, you know, shirk it off, juke it, whatever. I'm done. Are you sure I did that? Did I really say that? Then my husband will hear that sometimes. Are you sure that's what I said? He's like, yep. Checking his ears. He's like, that's what I heard. But anyways, David did good. He confessed his sins. And that's what God wants you to do. The cross covers all. The blood covers all. But we're going to learn a little more about sacrificing. Let's keep going. And the Lord spoke unto Gad, who was the man of God at that time, the prophet, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Oh, Lord, you get a choice. There are none of them good. It says, choose either 3 years famine, 3 months to be destroyed before your foes, while the sword of thy enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore, advise thyself which word I shall bring against to him that sent me. Our choices have consequences, don't they? Everything. Whether you're choosing to do something or are not choosing to do it when you should be doing it, none of us are perfect. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If I stand before you today and tell you I do not sin, I am a liar. That's the Bible. I caught myself not too long ago. I was trying to clear something up that my daughter had left, and they said, and I think she said, who am I speaking to? And without hesitation, I said my daughter's name instead of my own. And so to cover it, you know what you do? I was like, the mother of. Oh, God. The Holy Spirit's like, really, Sonia? You know that's going to be in a sermon. I was like, yeah, I know. So anyways, let's go on. It has consequences. So David is he was no different, even though he was a man after God's own heart. It says, "And David said unto Gad, I am in great straits. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man," which is a very wise decision. God is merciful. You know, he's also a father, but he's merciful. And God sent, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Did you ever think that your decision would cost so much? You know, we don't see it. We may not see it now. We may never see it on this side. But Pastor's been teaching us for a long time. You know, it's costing the lives of our children, our decisions. It's costing the lives of all the people that God has put us in the path of to make a decision, to help guide and lead. But that day, 70,000 fell by the hand of the Lord because of David's sin. And God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, "It is enough. Stay now thy hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He didn't say put the sword away. He said, "Stay your hand." So get this vision. There's an angel visible. We're going to read to some of them. Between the heavens as we know it and the earth. And he's got his sword drawn. I wonder how many times if we could see what our decisions would bring, would we change them? Would we change them? Maybe this is a good vision to have. Help us, Lord. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stood between the earth and the heavens, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Israel, or Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord, my God, be on me and my father's household, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. The second thing. David was willing to take his own sin upon himself. How many times do we sin and blame someone else? It's human nature. I get so tickled. I was talking to my hairdresser the other day, and she's got twins. They're like three. And she'll go into the room, and she'll know one of them's done something in his diaper or her diaper. And she'll say, "Who did this?" And the other one always blames the other one. He's like, "It was her." Not me. It was him. It was her, you know. But it's human nature. They're three. Where'd they learn that from? I don't know. But it's David. He's done two things. He's confessed. He's agreed with God that, yes, I have sinned. And he's willing to take the punishment himself. Do you want to know how to break free from these cycles in your life? This is how you put things on the altar. This is how you bring the sacrifice. Sometimes it's your own flesh. It's your own decision. Most of the time it's you. I'm just going to be blunt. It is me. It is my own selfish nature. It's my own whatever. But a lot of us want to stop and live in these certain steps. We don't want to confess it. We don't want to agree with it. We don't want to accept the punishment for it. It's painful. I know. Could you imagine how David felt? You heard his speech. He was seeing the people that he loved die. He wasn't right there, but he was watching the angel of the Lord with a stretched out sword, hand with a sword, over Jerusalem. And he begs the Lord to not slay the people. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing field floor of Onan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Onan turned back and saw the angel. Now Onan's at the threshing floor. He's working. And he turns around and he sees this angel. He can see this angel. Now Onan, it says, and turned back and he saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Onan was threshing wheat, and as David came to Onan looked and saw the king, and he went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself down with his face to the ground. And then David said to Onan, grant me this place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar there unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And he said unto David, take it all. He says, here it is. Take what's good in your sight. Here is oxen for the burnt offering. Here is the threshing instruments of wood. Here is wheat for the meat offering or peace offering. I give it all to you. And the king says, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering without cost. He knew it was going to cost him something, but yet he was willing to pay the full price for it, even though he was going to give it to him because of just who he was. How many times do we offer something that doesn't cost us anything, and we think we're so righteous? So David gave to Onan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. So let's go back to the threshing field. We live our lives there. Do you know what threshing is? Is they take the wheat and they beat it. Or the oxen roll over it. Or they have this big piece of wood that runs over. And what it's doing, it's separating the edible from the unedible. That's the process we're always about, aren't we? We're always being on the potter's wheel, being molded and shaped. Don't feel so, you know, upset when your life, when you go through things in your life, take what you can glean from them. Push off what doesn't need to be there. Don't get depressed by it. Paul says you need to be happy. I don't know about Paul. Paul was better than I was. I have a hard time being happy when God shows me my deceitful heart, the things in my life I need to remove. So, and then the process is not done, because now there's just broken pieces on the floor. The wheat here and the shaft, you know, the chaff is there, the straw as they call it. And then they have to do a process called, I think it's winding. I never say that right. But they take it and they throw it up. And the bad part blows away because it has no substance. And the edible part, the good part, falls back to the ground to be collected and used. It's interesting that David is going through this process from a sin, a choice that he made, a pride. So David acknowledges and confesses his sin. He accepts the cost for it. What is it going to cost me? And then he denies himself the pleasure of having it for free, the regret of knowing that he's wronged God, and because of him, others are suffering. What is a burnt offering? A burnt offering is an atonement for sin. It was something that was brought and burned up for atonement of sin. But there was also the peace offering there. What is the peace offering? It is an assurance of communication with God. It was actually the only meal that could be eaten, only sacrifice that could be eaten. Usually a portion was given to God and a portion was given back to the worshipers or whoever was there, and they would eat the meat together. It was a praise for his goodness, for he kept me. This is another part where the enemy likes to clip the communication with God. He brings guilt and regret in at this point. You can do all this. You can bring all this to the crosses. Pentecostals would say we cover it under the blood. We take it. We get forgiveness for it. And you can walk away with it gone. Some people like to pick it back up. Even if you drop it, the enemy comes in and he talks. He's like, don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember how the people suffered because of what you've done? Don't you remember what it... He doesn't love you anymore. How could God love you anymore? You're so dirty. You're so full of sin and shame. Oh, he's such a foe, isn't he? He's such an enemy. He's constantly trying to bring these things back up to your remembrance, to your mind. But all you have to do is pull out that wonderful sword. That's your only weapon. The Word of God. That's why it's so important for you to know the Word of God. How can you defend yourself if you do not know the Word? The very thing that will save your life. You know, all your helmet, everything that you've got, your shield of faith, everything you've got may stay him off. But he'll never be defeated without the Word. That's when you look up 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've been made new. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the power. I've been posting this all week long. There's no excuses. I have a clean conscience because God forgave me. I don't have to live in my past anymore. It's all things are new. The old is gone. Unless I choose to step back into it. Even 1 Peter, if you read the verse, it says God has given you everything you need to live this Christian life. But it's your choice. It's your choice. So let's look at David's steps. He confessed. He accepted his wrongdoing. Yes, it was my fault. I did it. You ever been in school and the teacher turn around and say, who do that? Nobody wants to be the one that does that. That's done, whatever. But a Christian will say, a follower of Christ, one who is willing to make that change and suffer, whatever it is, he stepped up and he said, yes, it was my fault. Let me pay the price for it. He accepted the cost for it. And he was obedient to God. When God said, go and make the altar at the threshing floor. Because we're going to take away some of the things today that don't belong there. And I like the last part. And said that, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. Some of us are real good to lay it up there and we quickly grab it back. You got to leave it there. Let the blood of Jesus cover it. Or in this case, like the fire. What does the Bible say about our Lord? He is an all-consuming fire. We're always being tested and tried and put in the fire, aren't we? But all it's doing is bringing out the impurities, the things that will hinder us in the next step. In the next step, we've got to do it with the right heart, with a Christian attitude. We've got to go to him in faith that he's going to do it. He's going to cover it. His word says he will. The Bible says it is impossible to please him without faith. All of this is in faith. Yes, I sinned. Here it is, Lord. Take it. I lay it on your altar. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I may have to live with the consequences of what I chose, but I want to be clean. I want to be forgiven. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want this to have the power over me that it's had before. I want to operate as a child of the Most High. I want to be a good example of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. Yes, you gave me your Holy Spirit. But do people look at that and see that? It's still a choice, isn't it? To operate in love and peace and forgiveness and long-suffering. This is how you live the life of sacrifice. This is how you are a living sacrifice. Paul says, you know, I haven't obtained it all, but I'm still pressing toward the mark. I'm continuing to run in this race. I'm looking ahead. I'm not looking behind or beside. I'm looking up and toward the mark for what you called me to be. And along the way, I may have to drop a few things. I may have to drop self-love. I may have to drop people that are trying to draw me back and entice me into things that aren't supposed to be. That'll do me no good. A lot of times I have no problem with smoking and drinking, and I can give all that up. But it's me dealing with Sonia. But I keep pressing. I get the forgiveness. I leave it at the altar. I keep pressing toward the mark of the high call of God. I keep pressing toward that. My character means something. Would you want me to stand up here and preach gospel to you and be partying right after I get out of church? What kind of woman of God would I be? What kind of witness would I be to anyone? But the sins that you see are easy to hover sometimes. It's the ones that you don't see, the ones of the heart. Sometimes you're laying your own heart on that altar and say, Lord, cleanse it. Put it in the fire. Let me know that you've accepted it and take off what doesn't belong there so that I can be the woman of God that you've called me today to be. I don't want to see the people die because I missed the mark, because I wanted to live in one of those other steps and I didn't want to proceed on and suffer the pain of reshaping and being put in the fire and being impurities gone out. How many men die because we miss it or we fail to go through the whole process of being a living sacrifice?